Welcome to the space show, Bob.
Thank you.
Woomera, of course, is quite important in Australian history, and I believe Australia actually launched its own satellite from Woomera. How did that come about?
Well, just to keep it fairly simple, but back in 1966, the Americans had a project going out here, the SPARTA project, where they had nine Redstone rockets that they sent out to be used for, I think it was Project Dazzle. They were doing research on re-entry and that type of thing. Apparently it went so well that they had finished their process, their program, by the time they'd used eight rockets. They had one left, and they thought, well, they didn't particularly want to go to the expense of shipping it all the way back to America. So it was offered to the Australian government, and the Australian government thought, well, they've got this rocket here, we might be able to do something with it. The Auto Project had tried to get a satellite into orbit and been unsuccessful, so the Australian government thought, well, we'll show them how to do it and we'll try and get one going. So by the time they realised that this could be done, they only had 11 months to design, build and launch a satellite. So they set to it, I believe, the WRE at Salisbury and one or two universities were involved in it. So they got together and they designed, built and actually launched a satellite, RESAT-1, within the 11 months period. I believe that got underway, or was launched in 1967, not sure the exact date.
And once the satellite was in orbit, it presumably sent back some information for some time after that?
Yes, I'm not really sure of the exact life of that one, but it did exactly what it was designed to do for some period of time. As a matter of interest, the first stage of the Redstone rocket that put RESAT into orbit has now been returned to Woomera. I think it was April 1990, a group of volunteers from Woomera got together and decided they would go and recover the first stage of the rocket. Apparently it had been located in the Simpson Desert by Dick Smith on one of his patrols out there, or one of his holidays, if you like to call it that, he was doing out there, and he located it from coordinates that were given to him by the DSTO people in Salisbury. So a group of enthusiasts got together here, and they managed to obtain some sponsorship from several companies around, and they set off into the Simpson Desert and found and recovered what was left of the first stage of the Redstone rocket. It is now on display in our missile park in the centre of the town here. It's been set up in a heap of sand with a few salt bush and mulga trees planted in alongside of it to simulate exactly how it was found in the Simpson Desert.
Oh, so that's a deliberate act. I just thought it was, when I saw it there, I thought, oh, gee, they haven't really mounted it very well, but that's actually how it was found.
Yeah, it basically is laying as near as they could remember as to how it was found. Thing that's worth mentioning, when they first come over the last sandhill and saw this rocket laying there, there was a dingo standing on top of it, and just at the time nobody had a camera available, but I can imagine that would have been a spectacular photograph. There's this rocket being laying there for 30 odd years, and a dingo had actually moved in and thought it was a good house.
That sounds like the photographer's equivalent of the fish that got away type story.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Okay, now, I've seen photographs of the RESAT being prepared for launch. Now, the SPARTA rockets, the Redstones, were originally painted in US Army camouflage type colours, but for the Australian launch, they painted it white. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not really sure of the significance, yeah, they painted the whole thing white and then painted the big red kangaroo on the side of it. Unfortunately, the fact that it's been laying out in the desert for all these years, there's not a lot of paintwork left on it, and it's actually showing through now. You can see the US Army written down the side of it.
This Redstone is broken into three pieces. Was that how it was found? Did it actually break on impact or on the way down to the ground, or was it broken during recovery?
I'm not really sure. I wasn't actually part of the recovery team, but I understand it was broken up fairly badly when they recovered it, and I think they probably cut it into manageable pieces. They had to bring it back on ex-army trucks, and they actually had one of the original Sparta trailers that were used here for carting the original Redstones around, and they modified that for off-road use, and they towed that out behind a big ex-army truck and brought it back in that.
Is there anything left of the launch pad that the Sparta or Redstone was launched from?
I haven't actually been out there myself, but I understand it's virtually just the concrete pads left there now. All the buildings have been demolished. But the other launcher just close by, the Sparta launcher was launcher 8, and the other launcher close by, launcher 6, there's again, that is in a fairly dilapidated sort of state. The buildings were all taken away many years ago, and now there's just the concrete stands basically still left there.
Okay, what was launched from Launcher 6?
Launcher 6 was the auto project. It was originally built for Blue Streak. And as you're probably fairly well aware, Blue Streak was not a very successful program.
That was a British intercontinental ballistic missile, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was originally designed as an intercontinental ballistic missile, and partway through the project they realised that being liquid fueled, it was going to take too long for it to get it mobile. They realised that the way things were, if they had to push the button on it, it was not like the solid fuel rockets where you push a button and it's gone. With liquid fuel it takes quite a while to get it up and running, and they realised they just didn't have this amount of time at their disposal, so the project was cancelled.
Okay, so then once the project cancelled as a missile, they then offered it to the European Launcher Development Organisation, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. They decided to use Blue Streak as the first stage for the auto project. This was a bit of a consortium. I think right from the start people wondered if it would work because there were so many countries involved. I understand the first section, the Blue Streak, was of course British, and then the Germans were involved with one section, the Italians, the Dutch, I believe, and by the time you roll in a few countries that were all doing their own little bit, and then they had to try and fit it all together in the end, I think it was sort of a disaster right from the very start. Unfortunately, none of those, there was no successful launch of a satellite using that medium.
But there were launches of the actual rocket, weren't there?
They did manage to get one or two away. One that they thought was going to be a very good launch. It left the launcher and everything was all go. And then some of the instrumentation, I think it was the radar, showed it to be heading off course, and the range control officer made a decision it was outside the safe range, so he was compelled to hit the destruct button. Just as he did, the radar corrected itself and showed it to be still on course, so unfortunately that one didn't go very far.
We were out there earlier in the day, and what impressed me was that it's on a edge of a salt lake pan. Was there any reason why it was built on the cliff facing the salt pan, or is that just simply made it easier to construct?
I think it was mainly the ease of construction that it was built there, and the other thing is that with the exhaust gas blowing out over a lake like that, there was no fear of a fire hazard because it's all devoid of vegetation. It was an area that was easy to flush if there was ever an accident. There was no vegetation to, you know, cause any problems.
Yeah. Is that a problem at Woomera, rockets setting off bushfires or scrub fires?
It has been in the past. It depends on what type of year we have up here. Our annual rainfall up here is normally about 6 to 7 inches. Every now and again we get a particularly wet year, and the undergrowth certainly takes over, and then it becomes a hazard. But in normal conditions it is not a hazard.
Now, that launch complex that we looked at, it's got a whole lot of pockmarks in it, as if it's been in a battle zone. I mean, I've seen remains of buildings in places like Berlin, you know, from the Second World War, and they look like shell holes to me.
Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, the government of the day, going back some years now, decided that the facilities weren't going to be required anymore. The army were looking for a training ground, and consequently, they were given this area as training ground. And there's been a lot of damage done out there. That although it hasn't damaged the main structure, it certainly makes it look very untidy.
Okay, how would you characterise that?
Well, in my personal opinion, I presume it to be, or I would describe it as being sponsored vandalism.
Yes, that was my impression as well. I think that things like that should be preserved for Australia's heritage, but the needs of the government are not always the same at the moment, and later on you realise they've done the same in America, of course. They've blown up the old launch pads there and so on as well. So, you know, a lot of our space heritage is just gone. Nothing we do about it.
Yep, that's right. It's a bit unfortunate because if ever that area was to be used again, it would take a lot of money to rejuvenate it. As I said, it's structurally still sound, but there's a lot of untidiness there, and it would certainly take a lot of money to upgrade it to make it reusable.
Of course, there's no real prospect of huge rockets like the Europa 1 rocket ever firing from Woomera again, is there?
No, it certainly doesn't look feasible. There is a program coming up that where it looks like it may be feasible to use those facilities again, but if it does go ahead, it'll be fairly small rockets compared to what was there originally, so the structure just won't worry.
Yes, well, possibly the Southern Launch Vehicle may or may not go ahead, but what else is Woomera doing at the moment? You know, what's happening here at Woomera these days?
The main instrumented range, which is about a 25 square kilometre or a 25 kilometre square area in the southeastern corner of the main prohibited area, is still utilised by the military quite a bit for trials. They have aircraft trials, and the army come up every now and again and do trials. A lot of them are restricted trials, so you know I can't really say much about them. But that part of the area is still used for that type of thing. We have a tourist park here in Woomera, and we invite that anybody that's passing through that they should come in and have a look at it, and it gives a bit of an idea of the history of Woomera, what you know, what the area was capable of doing back in the days. Since 1982, the town is open to the general public. Prior to that, it was a closed town. You had to have a pass to get in. But now that it's open to the town, we invite, you know, as many people as would like to come and have a look at the area. And that sort of points out a lot of the things that people have just been unaware of over the years because it was a closed town.
Okay, so people can come in and see the museum. And I notice there's a whole lot of rockets. We all talked about the Redstone lying down in the tennis court there. What about what else can people see when they come outside there?
Just in front of our museum complex, we have what we call the Missile Park. In there, there's quite a few of the early rockets and also missiles that were developed here in Woomera. There is a Jindavik. We have a radio-controlled Gloucester Meteor that was used as a target plane. We have a radio-controlled Canberra Bomber, which was also used as a target plane. We have a Black Arrow. We have a Black Knight. We have a Blue Steel. And several other smaller units. There's a Skylark. There's plenty there for people to see. A lot of people may have heard these names before but can't actually associate them to anything. But if you come and have a look, we've got some, you know, fairly nice sort of gear here. It's actually administered by the Lions Club. The Lions Club do a fantastic job here. They've put the missile part together and they keep it all upgraded and presentable.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this evening on the Space Show, Bob.
That's all right. Thank you.